everyone. Welcome to Desk Doodles. I know it's been a long time since we had our last conversation, but after you meet the guest today, you're going to feel it was worth the wait. Today's guest is a hero. He's an inspiration. He's a role model. He's an ex-serviceman. He has been awarded the President's National Role Model Award by none other than Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. He has the world record in adventure sport in driving. He's an author in three languages. He has given TEDx talks. Above all, a social worker who has been working tirelessly for the girl child and for the street children. So without further delay, the man of the hour, none other than Mr. Naveen Gulia. Welcome to Desk Doodles, Naveen. It is such an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a bigger honor for me.
Oh, that's really humble of you. But we will go through our conversation. We'll have lots of talks on philosophy and life and education. But before we jump to all of that, I think we will start with how your journey, how it started, and where you are today. So please take us through that journey.
Firstly, I do not really consider it my journey. It is a journey, you know. I don't want to own it. Kya lage so mera, tera tujhko saunp do. You should not be, very possessive about my journey. It's a story. Let's talk about the story that how much of it I had a conscious role in that story playing out, I don't know. So I won't claim credit for it. As a child, I was definitely shy. I was just like every other kid. They make fun of each other. I was maybe more sensitive. Maybe I was shorter in height. Maybe I was not as strong as them. Maybe I was younger in the group. So I remember that I used to like spending time with myself. So I think that helped me have a better relationship with myself and not getting acceptance. You know, we all face rejection in different forms at different stages in our life. We all crave acceptance and trying to be successful or popular or whatever, liked by other people. It is all because we crave acceptance. We are social beings. It is programmed into us. So craving that acceptance makes you want to do things which please others more than it pleases you.
Yeah.
And that can lead to one making compromises, one with his own choices and decisions and likes. That again happens with everyone.
Yeah.
But one thing was, I do not know where and how it had entered me. They say child is in a very impressionable mind. So it might have just, I might have got it from somewhere. That was that if I was told that this particular thing is difficult or impossible to do, or this thing cannot be done, that used to motivate me, make me want to do it more, because somewhere I had realized that you get that acceptance when you are able to do something which others cannot or which others think they cannot. So I was looking for those things. So that was the challenge. And we all want our life to be a story, but we do not want to go through the challenges. How can there be a movie, a story, a novel without the challenges part? You do not get, you do not really get to pick those challenges from a menu. They're just, the life will hand them out to you.
Yeah.
If you have lots of money, that's your challenge. If I don't have money, it's my challenge. So it will be a challenge in every form.
Yes.
So that was one. And secondly, I read about Gandhi, Buddha, Nanak, Kabir, other great poets, writers, and other people who had achieved a lot in their life, Lal Bahadur Shastri, Bhagat Singh, many people. But I always used to feel this is something I can also do. Like usually people, when they look at some great figures, they feel, oh, I cannot do it.
Yeah.
But I used to think I can do it. Maybe I become Nanak, maybe I will not become Buddha, maybe I will Kabir, but at least I will end up somewhere better. If I keep my role models as people who have achieved much lesser, then I will definitely achieve less than that. Sure. So what is wrong in competing with income rather than just admiring them? What is wrong with competing with them, trying to compete with them in thoughts? What would Kabir say about this? What would Buddha say about this? Why can't I? Why should I not? If you are my teacher, I should always try to be better than you. If you are my teacher and I don't turn out better than you, then you have failed. My student should be better than me.
Very true.
So that is evolution. So rather than having an ego that how can you be better than your teacher, you have to be better than your
Yes.
teacher.
Yes.
Because all that he knew, all that he had knowledge with him, he gave it to you on a plate. What do you add to it? You're supposed to add to what he has already gifted to you.
Yes.
So it can't be less than that. That is not an achievement.
Yeah.
I believe that I could do it, despite not being as studious, despite not being as intelligent, despite not being as strong. It is the belief which made me do it.
So it's that belief that made you go and join the defense forces. Is that what inspired you to do it?
No. Oh, see, one thing is that I do not understand the words like inspiration and motivation. Because you may say it, that you got inspired by listening to me. I am not out to inspire anybody. I don't think I'm that great to be able to inspire anybody. I'm just doing my life work and whatever, going ahead with it. And I do not lie about something. I do not if I joined army, I joined it as a profession. I am saying that I joined National Defense Academy because I could not clear IIT. I do not need patriotism to be good. I do not need patriotism to do something. I do not need patriotism to do my job properly. I want to be a better human being. I want to be a better example. That is more important for me. It is always better to be a good army officer than being a bad engineer from IIT. And I chose to opt for the special forces, para commando, special forces, as they're called now. If I was a marketing salesman, I would pick up the toughest challenge there as well. If I want to be good in any field, I will pick up the tough challenge. So that's what I am. That is more important. And that is what has brought me where I am today. I always believe that the world is a good place. There are lots of wonderful people, and that is the truth. And believing in good has brought me where I am. It has worked for me. It has given me what I wanted many times more. So how can I stop believing in it? If it was failing somehow, if it was not working out, then I could have doubted. That is again something a lot of people, they are failing repeatedly by following something which they have been following. And they will not agree that what they're following is wrong. They will say, it is like saying, my car is wonderful. It is this, it is that. It just doesn't work. So if it does not work, how can it be correct?
Correct.
So it is, you have to realize that if it is not working, it means there's something wrong with it. So mine has worked, and if something does not work, I change it.
Yeah, but
So
I
I do
think from where
not.
you started, Naveen, when you joined the NBA and you were at the point to graduate from there, and that's where your life took a different turn. And tell us a little bit about that journey and what happened and how you moved from there.
See, a lot of people use the term motivational talk these days. Actually, that is a pep talk. Motivation is the purpose behind doing something. I'm not going to provide a purpose to someone. What you are basically delivering is a pep talk. And a pep talk, which is, given to the players before they enter the sports field, which is given to them in between the match, because it has a duration effect duration of half an hour. A pep talk lasts for half an hour, the effect lasts for half an hour. So that's not going to work. You do not get motivation all of a sudden. It is not an incident that can motivate you. That incident actually brings out what you were, actually, what you had the potential. So it is a personality that you build over years to reach that stage when you are faced with the challenge of your life and you're able to face it. I always speak positive. I meet positive people. I do positive things. I read positive things. So I remove everything negative from my life. And people say, do, don't talk. I say, no, speak. If you don't speak, you will not do. If you keep it to yourself, if you have made a resolution and not told anybody, there are more chances you will not do it. If you have already committed to a lot of people, if you have spoken it out, you will believe in it, you would want to do it, because you have to face yourself that you have, made that statement. So don't be afraid to speak out what you want to do so that you commit to yourself. That is very important. And contrary to what people believe, they say, I will speak only when I'm able to do. That will not happen. It's a cause and effect. Albert Einstein, the effect can only always happen only after the cause. It cannot happen before the cause. So I was in that mindset. That's why, had I not met with this accident, I was joining the special forces. I had opted for it. I had done my parajumping and, those things. I was completely on track for that. So I was choosing a profession where I would be facing the toughest of the army life, not just army, the toughest part of it. So I could have faced my death anywhere. I could have faced previous injury anywhere. All the kind of challenges were there. Only the type of challenge I faced was different from what I expected. A challenge was to come, so I was mentally prepared for that. Instead of falling off a height, I could have been injured by a bullet. That's the only difference. But I was prepared to take it, no, mentally. So I was already prepared for it. Having said that, the physical part is always tough. But I had always worked in sports, hard work, exercising, martial arts, things, adventure sports. I don't mind hard work. I don't mind if I have to work 18 hours a day. I don't mind if I have to work 10 hours a day. It's not a problem for me. So that is why I could face that, face the 2 years period of time of hospitalization. When I fell off that obstacle and my spinal cord broke, I was completely paralyzed. People say, why me? I say, why not me? If somebody has to die, why not me? Why will the robber not rob my house? Why will somebody not attack me? Why was I the chosen one? So maybe I was the chosen one because I faced it. I had to face it. So the challenge that came across.
But I think what I was reading a little bit, and I understood that when you were in the hospital for so 2 years plus, and when the doctors themselves told you that you will be paralyzed shoulder below, and the struggle that you would have gone through, I'm sure that how were you able to find that courage and that strength? Because when one is right there at the bottom, right, it is so difficult to get up from there and to be where you are today. For me, I feel that is like such a lot of going within, finding that energy, finding that strength to rise above that challenge and to focus only on the path. Like you said, that people will tell you, probably the doctor and people around you told you 20 things that you can't do, you won't be able to do, you won't be able to do. But you shifted your vision from that to what I want to do, right? And that's what is the right direction, like you say, that is correct. That how do you get to focus on that, and then you kind of walk that path, and you, so what made you, you know, what is that pivoting point from where you moved to where you are today, Naveen, what you're doing with your Ada Foundation, like how has that happened?
See, the thing is that there is, everybody in this world is looking for a formula, A plus B whole square. You know, something which they can quickly implement and it will change. No. From my childhood, I was listening to that. I cannot do this. This is not possible. That cannot be done. I had always been facing that. People disagreeing with me. People thinking that I will also do what they were doing eventually. The opinion of people has never been able to discourage me. They have a right to their opinion and to make a fair judgment or assessment of what I am capable of or not. They have a right to do that. If you praise me, I will thank you, express my gratitude to you. If you say I am a fool, I will say, well, I respect your right to have that opinion about me. So, but that does not change my opinion. I would rather lose on the path of my choice than to win on a path of your choice. The failure on my chosen path is anytime acceptable to me.
Correct.
So it never discouraged me. In sports, if you are losing by 4 goals and you say, oh my God, we are losing by 4 goals. No. You see, if you're losing by 4 goals, how can you win from that position?
Yeah.
You leave all your defense and go on the offense. That is how you win from that position. That is the only possibility of coming back. If you think defense after that, then you are gone. You have to think only offense if you have to win. Any chance is yours. So I always take every step in the direction of success, irrespective of whether eventually I will succeed or not.
Very true.
That is not my fault. At least if I fall, I will fall on the path of success, not on the path of failure. So that doubt is never there. And so I'm not afraid of anonymity. I'm not afraid of my contemporaries going ahead of me or falling back. It doesn't matter to me. And that is how I have been able to, you know, play in my own league, have my own league, rather than comparing myself with where my contemporaries are at a point of time. That doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
So that is what helped me through, you know, that phase. My contemporaries were officers. They were being saluted to, they were getting the dignity, the respect, the everything of that. I was called Wo Ladka Naveen. But I suppose that Wo Ladka Naveen is my real identity.
Yeah.
No suffix, no prefix. I have no role in my suffixes and prefixes. My identity is Naveen. That boy Naveen. That is my identity. So it isn't, I cannot have a rank or an award which can equate to my name. My name, if it does not carry any value, then even if I have some of those around me, it is Gandhi. Do we add Padam Shri Gandhi? Do we say Bharat Ratan Gandhi? Do we say Bharat Ratan Kabir? No, yeah. Kabir only. So if I am worth it, let my name have the value. Otherwise, other things don't matter. So that is why it never mattered to me. And the physical difficulty of being alone, not having friends, not being able to move out. Internet came in 1996, 97, and very few. That time Indians were never on the internet. No, in India, internet maybe post 2000 or something, it became more interesting. So I did not have friends at all. No one. And which I did not mind. But there is certainly whatever discomfort or, you know, everybody wants to have a friend or two. So But I have always made my difficulties work for me. The difficulty and the challenge, that is going to decide where your life will reach, what you will achieve.
A big example of what you just said was also, I read about the car that you created. So we've been hearing this phrase, you know, that in, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And I want to ask you about, you know, the world record that you hold. And how did that happen? And how did you create something so amazing? So tell us a little bit about that first.
Necessity is the mother of invention, or let's say necessity is the only reason behind an invention.
Very true. Yes.
There's no other reason for invention. And when I left with no choice and I badly want to do what I want to do, I will find my way of doing it. When I started driving in 1996, nobody in India, no disabled, was driving at that time. And people used to tell me, you know, why do you want to drive? Normal people are not able to drive on the road. And I said, how difficult can it be? I should be in a position to stop my car and move my car. That's all that is required. Nothing else. How difficult that can that be? And so again, people not believing in it did not matter. I had to do it. I had to do it. And people would say, use a driver or something if you want. Hey, I cannot go on a date with a driver. I need to be able to drive. You know, if you want to live, if you want to feel independence, you should be able to drive yourself.
Yes.
That is very basic.
Yes.
So I can stop where I want. I can move when I want. I can, you know, it's up to me. So I had to, and those days, automatic transmission cars were either very, very costly, or you had only manual transmission cars. Now, manual transmission is definitely much more difficult. But it is always, you know, divide and rule. You divide your challenge into smaller steps. And then you can, you know, one at a time, you can attend to all of them. If you see a chef cutting, you know, vegetables or cooking, you cannot move your hands the way he is. But with practice, you can do it. It's not a big deal. And that's how you do that. And whether it's, you know, accelerator, brake, clutch, gears, indicators, horns, steering, 6 or 7 controls which you intermittently or continuously require while driving. And I have only 2 hands, you know. So, but I was able to. Indira Gandhi had said that when you take on a challenge, an objective, divide it into a certain number of smaller steps.
Yeah.
And take the first step straight away. Take the first step straight away. And that is what one should do when one wants to achieve an objective. Divide it into logical steps. What are the steps you will be taking along the way? And start with the first step. Don't think when you will reach the top. You will. If you keep moving, you will. Nothing can stop you. So one should always set a goal and start working towards it. People, when they ask, how could you do it? There's not a quick fix solution to it that, okay, I will tell you and you also. You would also have to go through the same process of same effort, same time, same everything.
Then, but it was a very, very tough goal that you set for yourself, and you drove for 55 hours. And that's an amazing thing. And I read somewhere that you love flying as well. Is that also something that you tried and you overcome those challenges? You set your goals and then you move towards them, right?
Yes, and see, some of the words we use to describe a situation are negative words without us realizing it. Like struggle is a negative word. Struggle is when you accept that the odds are heavier. There's a sense of helplessness about struggle. I don't struggle, I fight. I fight and I win. So similarly, the difficulty or the toughness of a situation does not, it's a point that is not under consideration as far as I am concerned. It's not amongst the points that I have to consider when taking a decision. How tough it is or how difficult, that is never a criteria at all. If your child needs a surgery, you don't want that. You don't want it to happen. But you will do it because he needs a surgery. So toughness or difficulty should never be a criteria for deciding whether to do something. It should never be a criteria for you. If it is to be done, it will be done. Period. That's it. If a person says that what you are saying is correct, but very difficult, this person will not do it. Because he's giving importance to the factor of it being very difficult. He already has an excuse for failing. How does it matter whether it's difficult or not? This is to be done, this will be done. And so that is what we have to, always keep in mind. And
So when you created Ada, Naveen, let me come back to that because the work that you're doing for the girl child, the work that you're doing for the street children, please talk a little bit about that. Tell us what you're doing, what is that space where you're working? Please tell us about that.
This is something I always wanted to do, isn't it? I'm not doing anything great because this is what I wanted to do. It was my calling, whatever you may call it. That unless you provide for the weakest, those who really need it, you cannot be happy. You cannot be content. No amount of money or fame can make you happy. I do not want to take names of people, celebrities, or very rich people who are in extreme depression despite having the maximum fame and money, because that would be disrespectful to them. But we all know. So doing, achieving something for yourself can never make you have lived a contented life, that you have that contentment at the end of it. So that you will only achieve when you are able to provide. And without the desire to be, famous for that, to get fame for that. Without that desire of that, you may get it. It might be a burden for your work, but you may get it, but you cannot desire it. Then you will not be able to do it. So this is the eventual stage of life. So I had to be here. I had to work for these children, especially those for whom no one else is working, where visibility is not there, where media will appear less, where society would be less interested. That is where I should be. Where society is already interested, media is already interested, I'm not needed there. I'm not required there. I'm required where it is not. So that is why I'm sitting away from the city, away from the village, in the middle of the fields, in the middle of the rural slums, where no other NGO is working in anywhere around, and there's nobody else coming. But I'm taking their story to the world, and there are people across the world who support me, who like me, who admire me, who I'm getting 100 times more love than what I'm giving. So I'm having a very profitable deal. I say I'm the Ratan Tata of life.
Yeah, I remember because just yesterday when we had this little talk, and you were telling that the children who come to your Ada, the Ashiana that you have created for them, just tell us a little bit about them. It was so beautiful to hear it from you.
See, those kids, what I'm basically giving them is a belief that there are good people in this world. There are people in this world who care. That is the belief I'm giving them. That's it. These children, whatever, even if you give them a smile, they're grateful. You can feel their gratitude. If you, whatever you do, and the love, the respect you get, because they're grateful. And the most difficult job to do in this world is a thankless job. When you get gratitude in return, it feels good to do it. If you are giving a gift to someone and he throws it back in your face, there can be nothing more hurting. So the thankless job is very difficult job to do. And fortunately, the amount of love I give, I get more gratitude than I deserve. So I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
No,
I don't mind.
I think the biggest takeaway from that is, Naveen, that of course the children who come to you are coming from very difficult lives, and you have created a space where they come and feel secure. I think the biggest feeling that you are giving them is that feeling of security and the feeling of belief that you just talked about. That's the kind of environment that you provide for them. They feel secure, they come to you, they look up to you, that you will probably give them a little light in their lives, right? Because that's all they need, and they will look within, and they will at least when they are with you, they know that they can be themselves, right?
Yes, and the good thing about it is that it is not difficult for me to do this because they don't have anything.
Yes.
It will be difficult to provide for your own children. It's not difficult to provide for them because whatever you provide, they are grateful. Whatever little you give them, a straw to hang on to, a hope to hang on to, that is all. It is not very difficult. That's why people aim for doing something very difficult. Either you have to become like a Gandhi, wear only one cloth and live without all luxuries. You don't have to do a little, just do a little. That's all it is required. We don't need to do a lot. So it is not very difficult to do. And the what you get back in the form of that feel good factor, what you get back is, you will not. I can tell you with assurance that I might not be, a TV personality, a renowned TV personality, or somebody, on the road, maybe nobody will recognize me. But the number of people who love me from their heart will be more than any super celebrity of this world. And that is what matters to me. So that number, those who love me, that's the real, because they feel for me. They feel for me. We share that.
Naveen, when you say that the love that you get back from doing something for others, and you also talk about, you say that is what you think is karma, is what you do for others, not for yourself, right? So let me ask you one thing, is what can we incorporate into our education system where that can help build the children of our society in such a way that they're more empathetic, they're more caring, they're more inclusive of others. These little things, if we can start doing in our everyday teaching in schools.
Indian, our culture, our way of education, which we used to call Guru Shishya Parampara, in that the onus of learning is on the child, on the student, not on the teacher. The child has to prove that he wants to learn, and he has to continuously display his sincerity in his action. Otherwise, the teacher will not keep him, will not take him in the first place. So we have to hand over responsibility towards it. Taking away responsibility of their success, taking away that responsibility from them is what is making them most vulnerable and most weak. Not handing them the responsibility. Handing them the responsibility will make them stronger, will make them capable of facing it themselves. That is a better thing to do. So, and a lot of people tell me, I want to bring my children there so that they, when they see these children, they will realize what they have. Sorry, it does not work. By looking at children, deprived children, your children will never realize gratitude. Your children will realize gratitude when you take away things from them, when they have to work for getting those things. Then they will realize gratitude. If you just hand it to them, they'll say, so what if they are poor? We are not. Why should we suffer? So gratitude will be our children, the sensitivity, the gratitude. They will discover it only when they face it themselves. This overprotective nature about the child is making the child weaker.
Naveen, do you have any, would you like to share some success story from the work that you have done about any child, anything that you would want to share with us that has made, that's close to your heart, you know?
There are lots and lots of them.
Yeah,
And every
I'm
child,
sure.
once you see that, when you see the child happy,
Yeah.
when you know, or when you that child express, lots of youngsters, children have written to me that I have changed their life. My story has changed their life. What can be a better influence than that? I would give a very relatable example of it. You are wearing a shirt that is green in color. Actually, that shirt is absorbing all the colors inside it. Inside it, it has all the colors. It is throwing out green. So we are seeing it as green. Green is not its color. The colors inside it are other colors, but everybody is seeing green. So you will always be known by what you emit to others, not what you keep inside you. What you keep with yourself, you'll not be known for that. You'll be known for what you radiate to the world. So, and you do not have to be perfect. You can have all the shortcomings that everybody has. Just do the good part as well. And a child born without an arm and a leg, not having the opportunity to learn, and today he's completed his master's in English honors from Hansraj College. Girls getting boxing gold medals. Every small, when a child is able to achieve that dream, believe, and you are resulting in being better examples to them. I don't think there's anything better than that. And I saw teachers and parents fighting with each other. Teachers saying that children are with us only for 3 4 hours. The rest of the time they are with parents, so we have less responsibility for their behavior. Parents saying that we are sending them to you. So I say, if you people are not willing to take responsibility, how can you teach responsibility to your students? If a child has come to me for 1 hour and after that he misbehaves, I own the responsibility. Irrespective of whether it is justified or not, the child will see that sir is taking responsibility for something which actually he is not. So he will learn to take responsibility. So we have to take responsibility. We have to be better examples to them. That is what is required.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Naveen. It's been an honor to have you here. And let's keep these discussions going, and we will definitely connect soon again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for
Thank you.
providing me.
Thank you. Thanks once again.